I'm going to give you the power nugget to start with. We've been in the story of Joseph, and we're still got a little bit left. We've looked at the testimony of his success and his prosperity and his favor and blessing. Does anybody in this house want to be successful in life? Say amen. Does anybody in this house want to walk in the absolute, unadulterated, over blessings of all that God has for us? Say amen. Is there anybody that wants to walk in the favor that God has for us? And does anybody here want to walk in every blessing that God has for us? In Jesus' name. That's a fourfold Joseph blessing of success and prosperity, favor, and blessing. For those that maybe haven't been here, I just love this. I love the fact that the Hebrew defines success not as arriving at a place when you've accomplished a job or whatever, but success is pushing forward. Continue to push forward. That's what we need to do in our relationship with God, is to continue to push into heaven. Amen? And I love that aspect. And the most important things about success is not arriving at a good place, but it's about relationships. I'm telling you, church, when I preach this and I look in people's eyes and I can see people's minds changing right in front of me, that the most important relationship, of course, is with God, but the second most important relationship is with people. We are not sent here to be islands. We're not sent here to be on our own. We are sent here for each other. And sometimes that sandpaper doesn't feel good. Somebody say amen on that one, right? Okay, so Joseph got this figured out. You know, first he has this prophetic dream, and then his brothers throw him in the pit, and then he lands up in Potiphar's house, second in charge to the Pharaoh, and then Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him and gets thrown in the pit again, and then the significance starts. He's in jail with a butler and a baker, and they all have dreams, and he interprets those dreams, and he said, remember me when you get out of here. Well, they didn't remember him. They left him there for another 2 years, I think. And then he had the opportunity to, the Pharaoh had a dream and nobody could interpret it. Nobody. And then the butler said, I know somebody that can. He's in your prison. And so Joseph interpreted the dream of Pharaoh, and we know what happened from there. But I'm going to give you a big nugget to start with. We know how this all started. It all started with the first garment. What was the first garment? Coat of many colors. What did it represent? The Father's favor. God has a garment for each one of us, and it's called His favor. And that's on us. I can't wait to preach this message somewhere else or some other time. Three garments. And then, what was the second garment? He was given a garment in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar's wife picked up that garment when he ran. And he said, see here? He was here and he tried to rape me. It was a garment of false accusations. It's good stuff, church. False accusations. And so what did he do? He never cursed anybody. He never swore against anybody. He never tried to get back at anybody. He kept moving forward. He kept being successful. Why? Because he kept moving forward. He didn't let the false accusations hold him back. And then when he had the ability to interpret the dream of Pharaoh, and he was put in charge of Pharaoh, you know what Pharaoh gave him? He gave him a coat of fine linens, the third garment, the garment of significance, because he was significant in Pharaoh's life. Whew! That was free of charge. That came just right at the end of the day. I was kind of weary from my day yesterday, and the Lord gave that to me. So praise the Lord for that. All right, so we know that storyline. I kind of went through the storyline. I do want to read. I think we better read Genesis 39, and we're going to look at verse 21 through 23. Genesis 39, 21 through 23. But, everyone say, but, whatever your circumstance is, whatever happens, but, there's always a but. The Lord was with Joseph. How many times have we seen that? The Lord was with Joseph, and he showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. That's the favor of God. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. And the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him. He's a prisoner. And the keeper of the prison said, I trust you. God trusts us. Isn't that awesome? The Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Hallelujah. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 says, it's because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It's the mercy of God. We are here today because of his grace and his mercy. And our circumstances, we can walk in that grace and mercy, the same grace and mercy that Joseph walked in. Amen? So let's step into the situation of Pharaoh's prison. So Joseph was in Pharaoh's prison unjustly. He was falsely accused. He was falsely accused because of his garment. And now that didn't quite make sense. Ignore that. But anyway, so the butler and the baker had offended the king. We're going to make this story very short. And they got thrown in jail, and they were in jail with Joseph. And they both had dreams. How many of you, at least one time in your life, had an amazing, amazing dream? Just smokes you. You get up and you kind of shake your head. God, what was that? You know? And that's what happened. With the butler and the baker. And Joseph had the interpretation. How many of you ever interpreted somebody's dream? It's amazing. I love that. I just love making an impact and helping people out. That's all I want to do. And so we know the story that they got set free. The butler and the baker got set free from the prison. And Joseph said, remember me. They didn't. 2 years later, fasting forward, The baker made a mistake, and the butler didn't, and the butler got put in position with the Pharaoh again, and the baker got hung. But anyway, kind of an interesting thing. Then we know what happened from there, that Pharaoh had a dream. Now let's remember who Pharaoh was. Pharaoh was the king of Egypt. Pharaoh thought he was God. And he had a dream, and nobody in his entire kingdom could tell him what his dream meant. And then the butler said, oh, dear Pharaoh, I know somebody that can interpret your dream. So we never know when we're going to get called upon. We never know, but be ready, right? Just be ready. And so Pharaoh's dream was interpreted. We know the story, and I'm fast-forwarding. We know the story of the dream. Pharaoh dreamed that there was 7 fat cows that come out of the river and 7 skinny cows that come out of the river and the ears of corn, the 7 ears of corn that were fat and thick and rich, like what Josh likes to cut, fat corn. And then there were 7 skinny ears of corn. And of course, we know the story was that it's about 7 years of plenty and 7 years of nothing, and the nothing ate up everything good of the 7 good years. And so because of that, Joseph was interpreted that dream, and he said it's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine, and we need to save up in the 7 years of plenty because we will feed the world. And they did. You could almost say we're here because of Joseph, because he kept the planet alive. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. So, as we've been talking about Joseph's significance, making a significant impact, We can look at Genesis chapter 41, and we're going to read verses 39 through 43. And the Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you..." Now remember, Joseph is what? A Jew, and the Pharaoh thinks he's God. And the Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you..." We'll come back to that. "...has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning, as wise as you." This is the Pharaoh talking to one of his prisoners. Verse 40. "You, because of that, you're going to be over my house. All of my people will be ruled because of, according to your word. And only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you." Holy cow. 41. "And Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'See, I have set you over all of the land of Egypt.'" All of it. Does it say some? No, all of it, the whole thing. 42. "And the Pharaoh took his signet ring off of his hand, and he put it in Joseph's hand, and he clothed him with garments." There's a third garment, the garments of fine linen, the garments of significance right there. "He put garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck." We'll get into some of this in a minute. Verse 43. "And he made him to ride in second chariot which he had. And they cried out before him, 'Bow the knee before Joseph.' And so he set him over all," over some, all. He set him over all the land of Egypt. Talk about significance. Now, I can't imagine what God wants to do with us as a body of Christ, part of the body of Christ, in terms of being significant in our realm of influence. Maybe it's work, maybe it's community, maybe it's family. Whatever sphere of influence you have, there's going to be a greater level of significance if you believe for it. If you believe for it, it's God, how can I be of greater significance? You think he wants to answer that prayer? Yes. Okay. All right, so let's walk through, down at the bottom of the outline, the significance of Genesis 41. So Pharaoh, in verse 39, said God. Now, it's really interesting because the word God there in the Hebrew is Elohim, which is the first mention of God in the Old Testament in Genesis, where he was Elohim, God the creator of the universe. And Pharaoh, who thinks he was God, was acknowledging God as God. I don't know about you, I think that sounds kind of funny, right? That'd be like a Democrat saying, "I'm a Republican." A Republican saying, "I'm a Democrat." Doesn't happen, right? Okay, so that's about how Pharaoh's mind was changed here. Number two, the ring of authority in verse 42. It says, "Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand." So what does the ring represent? Power and authority. Thank you very much. Power and authority. So the Pharaoh took his ring off and said, "Here, you wear my ring. It's yours." They had to bow down. Well, it was my dad. So. But he gave it to him, right? He took it off his finger and he gave it to him. That's amazing. He's got the most powerful man on the planet. And he was giving his ring to Joseph. And then he put the third garment on, the garment of fine linen, the garment of significance. Because Joseph became significant. How? Because he interpreted the dream of Pharaoh. Where can we be significant? That's my question for you today. Where can we be more significant than we already are in our spheres of influence? Right? So I don't know whatever point I'm on, but the next point is about the gold chain around his neck. Talk about the chain of redemption. What kind of chains did Joseph used to have? Prison, shackles, and what's the other word? With shackles? Fetters, fetters and shackles. Black, deep iron chains all over it. And God redeemed him and put a gold chain of Pharaoh around his neck. It had to have been beautiful. It had to have been awesome. It had to have been astounding. And put that gold, that's the chain of redemption. Hallelujah. And then in verse 43, he changed status. Then Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paniah. Oops, am I there? Oops. Oh, slave. All right, verse 43, sorry. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried out before him, bow the knee. So he set him over part of the land of Egypt. The king rolled out the red carpet for this guy and gave him everything. Everything except the throne. This is so significant. It's amazing. Now we can go back to the other verse of the Zath. God gave him this new name called Zaphnath-Paniah. I should have looked it up. And that word in the Hebrew means Savior of the world. Why? Because he saved the planet. He saved up food for 7 years. And he set up redemption. Okay, all of this has been going on. All this preaching we've done, all this reading we've done, all the way through Genesis and all these things about Joseph have led up to this pinnacle of this, which I'm not going to do today. But it's the redemption with his family. Put that in your mind, and we're going to look at that next week. I know I skipped over a few verses there, but you can read through them if you want. I just know that I am so thankful. In one of the verses that we were going to look at was John 10:10, where it says, the thief comes to kill and destroy and steal, but Jesus said, I come to give life and life abundantly. And that's what happened with Joseph. The abundant life hit with Joseph, but it wasn't without some problems. Amen. Anybody got some problems you'd like to get rid of? Yeah, sure would. And guess what? New problems might come up tomorrow that you'd probably like to get rid of. So just get ready, right? Buckle up, baby, and let's go. Let's stand. Father, I just thank you for this scriptures that give us hope and give us something to use in our life. And Lord, I pray that each one of us this week, Lord, would have an understanding of the significance that you're creating. And maybe you're in a position where you're waiting for a greater significance. Maybe you're in a position where you're bumping up against a wall and you're saying, I'm trying, but it won't break through. Well, call upon the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord, Baal Perazim, the Lord of breakthroughs, the breakthrough of significance. Amen. And so call upon that name. And so we trust him. And so I just ask God that as we continue through this teaching on Joseph, Father, that we would come to a greater level of significance for your kingdom. And in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. 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 So, well, God bless y'all. Have a great week. Amen.